our manner on a regular basis to be what we're supposed to be. And to get out of the atmosphere, get out of the environment of the spiritual warfare of this world, and to get ourselves in a place that we can gather ourselves together and glorify his name. That's really what we desire. So God bless you this evening, saints. Thank you for your prayers for our trip to Lithuania. It was a real blessing from the beginning to the end. I'm sure everybody will agree, all the children. It was really wonderful meeting old friends, fellowshipping there. It was a great, great time. So thank you for your prayers. Let's open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 5. Let me share the screen as well. Matthew chapter 5. Okay. Matthew chapter 5. We started 2 weeks back on looking at the Beatitudes. If I bring my slides up here, God bless each and everyone who's online. And then I play that, then hopefully that should start. Our thought this evening is, what is it to be blessed? Because every single one of the Beatitudes is a blessed, it's a blessing. So what is it to be blessed? And our thought is going to be blessedness versus happiness. Because I think we live in a generation where the most important thing is happiness. And we'll see there's a very big difference between blessedness and happiness. You know, people, they maybe mistake one for the other. Matthew chapter 5, verse 1, and seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. We'll just take those first two there. Let's ask the Lord's blessing. Fathers, we thank you once again that you've gathered us this evening. How much we realize, Lord, our dependence upon you to bless your word and to bless your people. Draw near to us inside of our souls. Bless this place, even upon this night, we pray, and your people that are gathered here and there online, we do pray your rich blessings upon them. Guide our meditations, guide our thoughts. Help us now to be shut in with you, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's be seated, saints. God bless each and everyone. What is it to be blessed? It's quite a thing to think about, is blessedness. I think we're in an age, I remember years back, maybe 2012, something like that, did a series called The Blessed Ones. And once we went to look on our website to see which messages were downloaded the most, and it was by far the most downloaded messages. Not because they were good messages, but because they had blessing in them. And I've noticed that if you put the right kind of a word like blessing inside of something, people are going to be very attracted to it because everybody wants to be blessed. You want that. But what is the definition when we're speaking of true blessedness? Not looking at what people think, what not looking at what society thinks, but what is the definition scripturally of true blessedness? When Jesus was saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, what does he mean by blessedness? I like the definition from the Amplified Bible. It really does give it quite succinctly. It says, blessed, happy, to be envied and spiritually prosperous. So I think that is one of the first keys you'll see. To be truly blessed is to be spiritually prosperous. Now, I mean, that's what you want. You want divine blessing from the Lord. We want to be spiritually prosperous. And you can never be a blessing until you first blessed yourself, because you have to receive a blessing to be able to give a blessing. So it says spiritually prosperous with life, joy, and satisfaction in God's favor and salvation. So the second thing, you are spiritually prosperous and you have God's favor inside of your life. Now that is the key to blessedness. If you have the favor of God inside of your life, you are blessed. You know, to have God's favor, to have God's blessing upon you, for the Lord to bless you. It doesn't matter what's taking place, because look at how it finishes up in yellow there. It says, regardless of the outward condition. You know, so we're so much judging by the outward condition, but true blessedness is when you are spiritually prosperous, you have divine favor, the Lord's blessing is upon you, irrespective of what you're going through. That's what true blessedness really is. It goes beyond just being happy. If I can just get the computer to... Yeah. The children of the kingdom are always blessed even when they don't feel that they are blessed. I think that is the key there. There's going to be many days you don't feel blessed. That's just the way that life is. But that's not what blessing is about. Blessing is not based upon your feelings. Blessedness is a spiritual condition. Blessedness is when divine favor is upon you. Blessedness is when you're a child of God, you're in the hand of God. He might be taking you through chastening. He might be taking you through trials. He might be taking you through many, many outward circumstances or conditions that if you could choose for yourself, you wouldn't want to be in that condition. But it doesn't mean that you're not blessed. If you think of Joseph in his life, there were many times you would have looked at Joseph and think, this guy's not blessed. If you'd have compared Joseph with his brothers, you would have thought his brothers were the blessed ones because they had such an easy life. They never had all the things that he went through when Joseph was thrown in the pit by his brothers, hated by his brothers. You never would have thought Joseph was blessed, but he was the blessed one. And the reason he was being thrown in the pit, because he was blessed. Because he was spiritually prosperous, because the hand of God was on him. When Joseph was sitting in prison, he didn't feel blessed. If you listen to the message, Paul, a prisoner, Abraham says, I can see Joseph sitting there, his beard's grown out, crying and crying. He wants to be back with his father. He wants to be back. He's thinking of, you know, the days gone by. And the people who looked at him would never look at him as being a blessed sort of a person. But your blessing is not based upon your outward circumstances. You know, the outward circumstances and your spiritual condition many times seem to contradict one another. That's just the way that it is in the kingdom of God, because outward appearances can be very deceiving. They can be very, very deceiving. That's why the true assessment of who's blessed and who isn't, or if you want to know if you're blessed, it's going to be your sixth sense that tells you about blessing, not your five senses. Your five senses are going to look at circumstances, misjudge them, not know what, why you're going through the things you're going through. There's Job sitting on the ash heap. You know, nobody thought that he was blessed, but God said, this man is blessed. Even when all of the outward blessings were taken from Job, it didn't change his standing before God. Blessedness is a spiritual condition. It's your standing before the Lord. The Lord might be looking down on you, boasting upon you like he did Job, saying, have you considered my servant Job? And then all the things that he goes through, outward circumstances didn't seem to show the man was blessed, but true blessing, the things you're going through, if you're a child of God, are always setting up for greater blessedness and to be a greater blessing. That's why Job got the double portion at the end, got twice as much in the end than he did in the beginning. That's the true assessment. Our five senses are very, very deceiving. It says in the Bible dictionary, blessedness, the Greek word is makarios, is a reality. It's an inward state of truth, no matter how you actually feel. Because feelings are deceptive. That says that how you feel can be very deceiving. You know, the previous one was outward appearances can be very deceiving, and how you feel about yourself can be very, very deceiving. It's an inward state of truth. That's why you don't have to feel happy to be blessed. It's got nothing to do with it. The world might be happy when people go to the football match, they're happy. Doesn't mean they're blessed. People go to the rock concert, people go to the nightclubs. They have that happiness while they're there. Happiness and blessedness are two different things. You know, they don't go hand in hand many, many times. One is independent of the other so many times. True blessedness, it's independent of how you feel at a given moment in time. Because you might get up in the morning, your feelings can deceive you. Your feelings can tell you that God doesn't love you, God doesn't care for you. That's got nothing to do with the truth. Because blessedness is in the spiritual realm. Yeah? And it's not always reflected immediately in the natural. So the Lord might put you on an ash heap like Job, working towards a great blessing, or put you in a trial to really do something inside of your life so he can bless you more. You can be a blessing even more. And you find out that the blessing doesn't seem to correspond at the same time with your circumstances. But your circumstances as a believer will always lead you to greater blessing because all things have to work together for good. And if you really think about it, what produces the real attitude inside of you or the condition inside of you to be blessed, to receive the blessing, is normally you go through an ash heap, you go through a trial, You go through a testing condition. When the Lord said, Abraham, go and sacrifice your son. And he took his son 3 days' journey. It wasn't an easy, he wasn't happy in what he was doing. But that set him up for a great blessing. And God would never have asked him to do that if he wasn't blessed. The very fact that God could trust him with something that proved that Abraham was blessed. Now he's standing before God. And I mean, if you really think about it, what is the greatest example of it all? Is Jesus. You look at Jesus in Gethsemane, look at Jesus on Calvary. It doesn't matter that he was on Calvary. He was the most blessed of the blessed. This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. The very fact he was going through the things he was going through proved that he was blessed, that he could be entrusted with those kind of things, to go through his passion and to go through the things that the cross that was laid upon him was a true sign that he was blessed. But to the outward appearance of people, he didn't seem to be blessed. Now, that's, I think, really where the problems sometimes come in. You can only truly understand blessing and what God is doing in your life when you get to the divine frequency, because God looks at you and he's pleased with you. That's why he puts you, if you read the church ages, Smyrnaean church ages, when Christ comes down and he sees the church and they're being persecuted unto death. And he says, I know your tribulation. Yeah, we know it from the church ages. And the prophet says, Jesus comes down. All he says to them is, I know. He doesn't change the situation. He says, I know. I'm well aware of your situation. I know your tribulation. The prophet says, it's God's prerogative. He may choose to put you to suffering like Job. He may put you to death like Paul, but it's always with a purpose. There's always a divine purpose. And yeah, that's why blessedness, you've got to get in the spirit to really understand blessedness, to understand God's blessing inside of your life. That's why I say it's only declared by the sixth sense, because your five senses many, many times contradicted. Blessedness describes something that is true about someone, not something that somebody says is true about them. So blessedness is not based on other people's opinions about you. Again, take Job's comforters. What others think can be very deceiving. They didn't realize this was such a blessed man. Yeah, and God's blessing and heaven was boasting about this man, but they never entered into true fellowship with Job to get into that frequency that he was in, to understand, hey, this is really, really a child of God. But instead, they were judging the man by their senses. They were judging his spiritual condition before the Lord by what he was going through at that time. And it's very easy to do that. It's very easy for us to judge another man's servant. Things start going wrong in the life of a person. Master, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? I always laugh at that question. How can he have sinned if he was born blind? I mean, he was born blind. And they ask Jesus, did this man sin to be made to be born blind? And Jesus says, no, but that the glory of God might be manifest inside of him. So many, many times the circumstances somebody is in and the way we can look and assess that person's circumstances are very different than truth. That's how we need to get into the spirit of it. If you think of the Job's comforters, how out of frequency they were with heaven when they were judging him. Compare that with Jonathan and David. Yeah, here was a man who it seemed there was no divine favor upon him. David was blessed. He was a man after God's own heart. God came and anointed him to be king. God sent Samuel the prophet to him. The Spirit came upon him. And then all the circumstances of his life didn't seem to be blessed. Now everything seems to go wrong, but it was all setting him up for the supreme blessing inside of his life. And that's when now God had somebody who could enter in with him. When he spoke that while back about fellowship, about koinonia, you know, it's a blessed, blessed word about divine fellowship. There's certain people can enter in with you. David with his mighty men. Now, when he's being chased around in the wilderness and everybody is saying, Shimei is throwing dirt at him, saying, you know, you cursed man and God is against you. There were certain people that were on the right frequency knew that this man is not cursed. This man is blessed. They recognized that the anointing of God was upon him, but that everything that he was going through was to equip him to show that he truly was a blessing. That's why I say that the things don't sometimes work at the same time. Now, you'll be going through things that don't appear to be a blessing inside of your life, but it's always working out towards a blessing. One of the big examples in the Bible is Demas has forsaken me. You listen to present stage of the ministry. Promise says, Demas looked at Paul because everything seemed to go wrong. Here was a man having trouble with his eyes, only had one coat. He's arrested, he's put in prison. You know, so many people have turned away from him because he's preaching the truth. And Demas misunderstood his ministry, thought, this man's lost his ministry. The prophet says that's not what it was. He says God always takes a man through those kind of conditions before the crowning time. God was setting Paul up for the greatest blessing. You know, but Demas was judging the man by the condition that he was in. And it's quite an easy thing to do that, especially judging somebody when God is teaching them a lesson. Like we said the other day, it's easy to judge Samson. Now, we would have all given up on Samson, but God had determined that this man's going to be a blessing at the end. Yeah, so when you look at somebody in their current condition, be careful of judging them. It's better to get into the divine frequency. Then you'll start feeling, hey, this is a child of God. He might be on his ash heap. He needs a genuine comforter now. He needs somebody to enter in with him. He doesn't need someone to judge him in the condition that he is, because you've already got so many accusers against you. You've got the accuser of the brethren against you. Imagine Job sitting there. He just wanted one thing, Brother Ram says. He just wanted that inspiration to drop down the channel to explain to him what was going on. Now, he had that ability to yield himself and the inspiration would strike his soul, but he couldn't get the spirit on it. And that put him on an ash heap. He didn't understand what's going on here. Why is the Lord allowing this inside of my life? He needed genuine comforters at a time like that. He needed people to be together with him and come and say, Job, you've been a great help to me and my family during the years. How many times have we stood before you for counsel and the Spirit came down and you anointed you and you spoke, thus saith the Lord inside of our lives. But how quickly people forget. Yeah, and that's what the present stage of the ministry, if you listen, I love that message. I've listened to it so many times. Because the prophet goes to show there's always a forsaking time. There's always a time where everything seems to go bad just before the full blessing comes. He says that's the stage that God always takes somebody through. Yeah, you're going to have a look at everybody in the Bible and you see there were those seasons of time. And God has people that are to walk together with you at those specific junctions. That there's certain people you ordain, like David and Jonathan. There's a brother who's born for your day of adversity. Somebody can enter in with you. Somebody doesn't understand why you're going through what you're going through, but they know who you are. They don't come and just want to give you a lot of advice like Job's comforters and tell you why God is doing all of these things. No, but they can just put the arm around you and be together with you. And that's what you need in those junctions while you're waiting to see what is it that the Lord's put me in this situation for. But that's got nothing to do with your blessedness. David was blessed. Jesus in Gethsemane, look what he's going through. My soul is troubled nigh unto death. Can he not watch with me for 1 hour? He's sweating, he's crying out. He's on the cross. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? That had nothing to do with his blessedness. That was an evident token of heaven's blessedness, that heaven could entrust him with going through those kind of circumstances. Yet those that were standing around the cross said, God is judging him. When he said, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, they said, he's calling for Elijah. Let's see if Elijah will come. Yeah, he trusted in God. Let's see if God will deliver. If you be the Son of God, come down off the cross. You see, they were not in tune with heaven, those people. Because heaven, when it was looking down at that time, Jesus was the most blessed of the blessed, despite the circumstances that he was going through. You know, so we need to be very, very careful about that. Man focuses on the spirit. You see, as people, what do? We focus on the way that we're feeling, on happiness. That's the most important thing to us. We want to feel happy. We're trying to find things to make us feel happy. But true blessedness is in your soul. It's in your spiritual walk with God. It's in your relationship with the Lord. And your spirit may be undergoing serious warfare. Your body might be in pain. That's got nothing to do with the condition of your soul before the Lord. If you've got divine life inside of your soul, you are so blessed. If you're walking with God inside of your life, He may be taking you down the bloody footprints, down through valleys that you never expected you were going to have to walk. But it's got nothing to do with your blessedness. And this is where the prophet, when he came on the scene, and he wanted to explain this to the Pentecostals, and he came because the Bible says, Hebrews chapter 4, the word of God will always divide between the soul and the spirit.
Yes.
And he wanted to come and show people that that's not true blessedness. Just because you've got great riches and you've got all of these kind of things. He'd come to those full gospel businessmen in his pickup truck. You know, and they thought they were using the wrong measure stick for blessedness. They thought prosperity and ease in life and all, you know, the things which they had and the things that they possessed was the true measure stick for blessedness. And here came a prophet, the word manifest among them to come and divide between the soul and the spirit and say, no, guys, that's good. That's no token of blessedness. And you might be the richest man in the world. Doesn't mean you're blessed. Yeah. You might be the poorest man in the world. Doesn't mean you're blessed. Your outward circumstance has got nothing to do with your state before God. Paul, at the end of his ministry, only had one coat. And he had to write a letter to Timothy and say, bring the coat that I left in Troas because winter's coming. Imagine a man with the ministry that he had, like the prophet says. He could have had the world at his feet. You think your brother Brown tearing up a check for $1.5 million. Now, refusing all those things that people wanted to give him. Yeah. And the people judged him now on the outward things. Once he came to preach and he had his jacket, didn't match his trousers. And it was a taboo among those people. You had to be wearing a serious kardan suit or something if you are really a spiritual sort of a person. But the prophet understood this has got nothing to do with blessedness. The blessedness has nothing to do with your outward circumstances or your outward situation. And when the people saw the divine vindication in the life of the prophet, you know, just how easily you could just break into that frequency and the Lord could use him and diseases would be healed and the secrets of the heart would be known. They see all that vindication, but they never judged him as being blessed. That surely this is divine blessing upon the life of a person. But instead, they judged blessing by the wrong measure stick. They used the wrong measure stick. And that's exactly what Laodicea does. What does it say about Laodicea? I know thy works. The Lord's looking at Laodicean religion. He says, you think you're blessed. He says, but you're not cold or hot. You're lukewarm. He looks down. He says, you're not blessed. You don't have heaven's blessing upon you. He says in verse 17, because thou sayest, you are saying I'm rich, I'm blessed. Look at my riches. Remember we spoke about Jimmy Swaggart. He just passed away the other week. You know, that time when that brother, when David Wilkerson went and gave him that prophecy and told him, you need to shut everything down and go and seek God because you've got away from God. Your big business empire, your $100 million a year coming into your ministry, you've lost touch with God. If you don't shut it down, God says he's going to shut it down. And Jimmy Swaggart used the wrong measure stick. He said, how can you say I'm out of the will of God? People are giving me $100 million a year. And 6 weeks later, then he's called to the prostitute and God goes and shuts the thing down. And because he didn't understand that those things don't mean anything really. Those things are very secondary. It doesn't prove anything about blessedness. The blessedness is walking in the will of God. The most blessed time, the most blessed condition you can be in is to be in the center of God's will. And you might be in the center of God's will on an ash heap today. John was in the center of God's will on Patmos. And when he first got there, he didn't feel blessed with all these thugs and criminals. And, you know, he's living in a cave and there's the rocks and the scorpions and the heavy labor. And he's taken away from being the pastor there in Ephesus and he's brought to Patmos. He didn't feel blessed. Until he got into the spirit on the Lord's day and looked there at the blessing that came. And he realized, I'm really blessed to be here. But look at the outward circumstances the man was in. And God trusted the man, knowing that this man's going to stand firm no matter what I put him through. And that's a real blessed condition to be in, is when the Lord can entrust you with those things. But look at Laodicea. You say, I am rich. I'm increased with goods. I have need of nothing. I'm blessed. My life is full of blessing. What does the Lord say? But you know not. You are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Showing a true blessedness is spiritual blessedness. If you want to listen to something really powerful, go and listen to the Church Age book. Go to the Laodicean Church Age when the prophet in the sections speaks about the conditions of the age. He says the prophet of the age, the messenger of the age, declares the conditions of the age. So this is the messenger. This is the message to our age. And here's the messenger coming to declare to those Pentecostals, to those full gospel businessmen, the conditions of the age. He says, you people, you say because of all these things we bless, you don't know you're blind. You don't know you're wretched and so forth. And he declared it. And then he has to come and preach Jesus with dirty feet because the word came their way to diagnose the case, to say you're not using the right measure stick of blessedness. And what did they do? They left Jesus sitting with dirty feet. Yeah, never made him feel welcome and never received the benefit and the blessing which they could have received if they'd have realized what true blessedness was. That's how deceiving that it can be. That's what he says to him. So that's why the first beatitude, if you think about it, what does Jesus say? Blessed are the poor in spirit. He's not saying blessed are the poor. It's not blessed to be poor. There may be seasons in your life, God puts you through want. David at a time, he had nothing. He's living out in the wilderness, wondering where his next meal's coming from, having to send his servants down to Nabal to see if he can get some food from him. It was the Lord teaching him dependence on him. You might get in situations you don't know what your tomorrow holds. You get in situations you're not sure about your future. Yeah, and the Lord's trying to teach you something. That's got nothing to do with your spiritual condition before God. That's just part of the predestined journey that he has for your life. And there's a certain, that's the junction that he knows you need to be in at that time. But it's blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So here it's showing that you are spiritually prosperous. You are blessed. If what? You realize your need of him. Because to be poor in spirit means somebody who realizes their need of him. You realize your need of the kingdom. You realize your need of the spiritual aspect of things. Because this kind of a condition, being poor in spirit, realizing your need, realizing your dependency upon the Lord, this is an attitude that always brings the kingdom of heaven on the scene. Whenever somebody gets into that condition, when you get to the stage where it's, Lord, I'm nothing without you. I can do nothing without you. You're blessed because the kingdom of heaven is going to flow into that situation. Yeah, it's going to flow every single time. The prophet, ever present water from the rock, he speaks about how spiritual principles always operate according to divine laws. Now, this law, this is a law that is teaching us. You know, that whenever you get poor in spirit, whenever you don't, you're not self-sufficient, you're not independent, you don't think you know anything and I know what I'm doing and I know and no one can tell me what to do. The moment you get to the stage, say, Lord, without you, I'm nothing. Without you, I can do nothing. And you're depending on him. That's a spiritual law. You are going to be blessed by the Lord. Yours is the kingdom of heaven. All of the resources of the kingdom of heaven are now available to you in that situation. Whatever you need is going to flow down. Like with gravity. Gravity would always bring forth results when the conditions are right. That's a law. You know, if you have something higher than something else, like Romans says, you have water up there in the mountains, you have dry ground over here. If you just operate the law of gravity, you know, you just make a way for the water up there to come down, give it a free flow, gravity is always going to work and bring the water down to the lowest point. That's exactly the same as the spiritual condition of our hearts. Whenever we get poor in spirit, the blessings of the kingdom flow down into that spiritual condition inside of your life. You're always going to be blessed whenever you have that inside of your heart. That's why this being poor in spirit, this like attitude inside of your life, allows every single time that divine frequency to work on your behalf. Now, if you're trying to seek the mind of God, If you think that you have the answer, remember the prophet out in the mountain when he was preached a guide. I can't be lost. I'm a guide. I can't get lost in the woods. The moment he was self-sufficient, despite all of the resources of the kingdom of heaven that were available to him, none of them could operate on his behalf. He kept on hearing a voice saying, I'm an ever-present help in a time of trouble. I can help you here. I'm your guide. But he had to humble himself. He had to become poor in spirit. He had to say, Lord, I'm no guide. I'm nothing without you. Look what I've done. My family is going to perish up there in the mountain because of my self-sufficiency. If you want to listen to the message that really hits that point on the head, go and listen to Perfect Strength by Perfect Weakness. The prophet says, this is something we have to master. Said, especially you young ministers, is that God's strength is made perfect in our weakness. That's what Paul had to understand. He said, Lord, why are you not taking this sickness away from my eyes? Said Paul, because the abundance of revelation, you'll get puffed up. He says, but to keep you sufficient on me, to keep you poor in spirit, to keep you depending on me, I'm going to allow this to keep buffeting you. Then Paul says, I'll rejoice in my infirmity, because when I'm weak, then I'm strong. Then his glory can rest upon me because of the condition, the attitude that's inside of my life. And that's why, as a believer, you're never far from trouble. Now you find life is never going to go smooth for you. It's not good for you when it goes like that. The Lord wants to keep us depending on him. The Lord wants to keep us calling upon him. So he's going to be creating these conditions continually inside of your life where you need to come back to him. And more so when you start getting self-sufficient. Because Laodicea, the atmosphere of this age is self-sufficiency. I'm rich. I don't need anything. So the Lord, he doesn't want his children to be in that kind of a condition. What was the reason for Jesus' perfect 100% prosperity in everything that he did? He said, it's not me that does the works. It's my Father that's in me. I do nothing unless my Father shows me first. Yeah, Jesus came to show us the way. He says, unless you become as a little child, you cannot inherit the kingdom. And once you think you know and you can lead yourself and do things yourself, you now lose the benefits of all the blessings of heaven that God wants to pour inside of your life. But the moment you become poor in spirit again, the moment you realize, Lord, I am but a branch. You are the vine. Without you, I can do nothing. I can bring forth no fruit. That attitude brings the blessings of heaven down into your life once again. And that's what he's saying. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Look at that, some other translations. The Barclay version says, blessed are they who know their spiritual poverty. You know that spirit, when you get to that stage that you're feeling, Lord, I don't know anything. Lord, I don't have any strength at this time. Lord, I need you. Psalm 42. As the deer pants after the water brook, so my soul thirsts after you, O Lord. Yeah. Psalm 63, to see your power and your glory as I've seen you in the sanctuary, because your loving kindness is better than life. Yeah. That's why David was a man after God's own heart, because one thing have I desired, and this will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. He wasn't looking for an easy life. He wasn't looking for the Lord to deliver him from his current condition. He said, Lord, as long as you're with me, as long as I can be beholding your glory, as long as you're putting the strength inside of me, it doesn't matter what you take me through. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, because the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Here is, Lord, I'm a sheep. If I can just stay with the attitude of a sheep, then all of the attributes of the shepherd are going to continue to manifest in my life. But the moment I think I don't need a shepherd anymore, then you start getting yourself in trouble. That's just our human nature. What about some other translation, but I like this one. Blessed are those who recognize they are spiritually helpless. That's hard to find in Laodicea. You know, it's like with charismatic religion, for you to acknowledge, I'm weak, or I'm sick, or I need, you know, I'm not doing well spiritually. That's negative confession. You can't confess negatively. Well, then you need to throw a half of the Bible and go and throw most of the Psalms away, because David is saying there, all my soul, why are you cast down within me? Hope thou in God, he shall deliver you, and all those kind of things. And Jesus himself, the times he went through, the real valleys, that the billows were going over his head. And he's, like I say, Gethsemane and those kind of things. But one of the greatest things we can do is to realize that we're spiritually helpless. When you get to that condition, you're blessed. Because even to come to that condition, the Lord, the deep has called to the deep. The Lord puts you in circumstances and situations to show that you're helpless, so that he can come and manifest himself on your behalf. What about the contemporary English version? Blessed are they who depend only on him. That's being poor in spirit, is depending only upon him. What a blessed life. Yay, imagine you and I. What a blessing we'd have, and what a blessing we'd be if in everything we depended only on him. And surely that's where he's trying to get us to. If you listen to the message of prisoner, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, the prophet says, he shows about Joseph had to become a prisoner. Then he shows Moses now had to be a prisoner, taken out to the backside of the desert. And he finishes with Paul, a prisoner. Now, Paul was such a big man, rich man, Sanhedrin council, all those big things. And God had to strip him down and make him a prisoner. And Paul was more than satisfied to write and say, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, literally and spiritually. But the prophet says, God, right at the end of that message, he says, what is God trying to do now? He says, look at the conditions of the day. Look at the promises God has given to his people. Now, there's all these promises to us. He says, what is God waiting for? He's just trying to get us to be real prisoners. That's what he said.
Yes.
Just trying to get us to that stage we completely, because when you're a prisoner, you don't eat when you want to eat. And you don't go and walk outside when you want to go and walk outside. You don't go to sleep when you want to go to sleep, or wake up when you want to wake up. A natural prisoner, they tell you, siren goes off, 6 o'clock, time for you to get up. 10 o'clock, all the lights go out. Time to eat, tick, time to exercise. Yeah, that's a prisoner. Your life is not your own. They tell you what to do. They tell you where to go. You're going to clean the toilets today. You're going to be an ironing duty. No, we don't want to be natural prisoners like that, but to be a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That you won't go where he doesn't want you to go. You won't spend your time in ways that he doesn't want you to spend your time. You know, when you just do what he, wow, what a blessing. And the prophet's life was such a manifestation of that. I don't know which message this is. I can't remember, but I think it's a 1950s message. That one when he speaks of the three testimonies before breakfast. When he's in the hotel room and he's at a healing campaign, he's been praying for people and he wants to go for breakfast in the morning, and there's so many people waiting in the lobby to be prayed for, he can't go for breakfast. So the manager now sends up the bellboy and says, okay, I can take you out the back way through the cold, you know, through the boiler room. And Brahma has to go out, put his collar up, put his hat on, God holding his baby Rebecca, goes out with Sister Mida and another sister, and they're going down, they want to go down and eat. And while they're on their way there now, the Lord speaks to the prophet. The Holy Ghost comes to lead him. Yeah? And he says, the Lord's leading. And instead of going down to the restaurant where they normally go and eat, they go in another direction. And the Holy Ghost just leads the prophet. And he comes down and he gets to Miller's Cafeteria, I think it was called. And he gets to this place and it's full. They go downstairs in the basement. He orders some prunes. They sit down. As they sit down, somebody on the next table lady says, praise the Lord.
Amen.
And Brother Branham looks and says, and she comes, says, Brother Branham, can I tell you my story? This is my brother. We've sold everything we had. We've gone to meeting after meeting. My brother couldn't get in the prayer line. His heart is broken through his diaphragm. He doesn't have long to live. He says, and last night was our last chance, but I prayed all night next to my bed. I fell asleep in the middle of the night. And I had a dream, and the Lord spoke to me in a dream and said, go and wait at Miller's Cafeteria at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning. And the prophet says, I looked at my watch, it was 9 o'clock. He says, I prayed for the brother, an old man. He said, praise the Lord. I haven't felt like this since I was a young man. And then the Holy Ghost moved him again. Hadn't even eaten his breakfast. Up the stairs he goes. They're following. Sister Mida and then, Brother says, you go back to the hotel. The Spirit's still leading me. Goes outside Miller's Cafeteria. As he gets outside, there's a lady there. And as she sees him, she starts beating her chest. And she starts crying and actually falls, I think, at Brother Branham's feet. And he picks her and says, "What is it?" And she says, "Brother Branham, whatever she had, I can't remember what the sickness was." And she tried to get in the prayer lines. She couldn't do it. And she said, "But last night, the Lord spoke to me and said, go and wait outside Miller's cafeteria at 10 past nine tomorrow morning." And Ram says, "I looked at my watch. It was 10 past nine." He said, "I prayed for that lady. She was healed." Thought to go back to the hotel. On the way back, Holy Ghost tells him, "Turn this direction." He turns, gets to a certain place. There's a traffic light. There's a policeman. He says, "An Irish policeman conducting the traffic there in New York, wherever it was." And he says, "The Holy Ghost told me to wait." He says, "I stood there. I looked in the window at the fishing equipment. I waited." He says, "And I felt something." He says, "There came a lady walking down the street and she had her head down and she walked straight past me." And I thought, that's strange. Maybe the Lord did something for her. She went down. As she went down, she felt something herself. She turned around. Said, "Oh, Brother Branham." And she came back to him and said, "Brother Branham." He says, "Yes, sister, the Lord told me to wait here." I said, "I've come from Canada. I'm only allowed to spend so much money. I've spent all of my money." Said, I was in the meetings. I couldn't get a prayer card. Said, "I was in the hotel last night. I didn't even have money to sleep. I slept in the lobby of the hotel. All I had was 20 cents this morning left. I went and had a cup of coffee for my breakfast. I was going up now to the road to go and hitchhike to get back to Canada. And as I got to the top of the road, something told me to turn." And then Brother Ram started praying, and he says, and all the people came and had a prayer meeting there. That's spiritually prosperous. That's a man who's so dependent upon the Lord, who's so spiritually sensitive to the Lord that you lay aside everything else. And even before you have breakfast, three different manifestations of the Spirit, even before you get to breakfast. What a life that would be, friends. But that's blessed are the poor in spirit.
Right.
Blessed are they who realize their full dependence on the Lord. Realize, Lord, my time is not my own. I'll waste my time. But if I give it to you, I'll redeem the time. Now, Lord, my strength is not my own. I want to give it to you. If you'll give me the strength, I want to use the strength for your glory. That's how blessed, I should say, are those who are God dependent, not those that are independent. You see, that's what it means to be God dependent. The worst thing inside of our lives as believers is to be independent. That's when you make all the wrong decisions. That's when the blessing stops flowing inside of our lives. The moment we think we know, the moment we stop being sheep, the dove can't lead us anymore. The dove cannot manifest in our experience anymore. He can't use us the way that he wants to use us. Because blessed is the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. All the resources of the kingdom of heaven are available when you're in that kind of a condition. When you're God dependent, you're not independent. Like we said, that's exactly contrary to Laodicea. Because Laodicea is self-sufficient. We have need of nothing. And it's very easy for that attitude to creep in, to think we don't need anything. We're so independent. We make every decision ourselves, we do everything ourselves. No, don't ever get to that condition. As long as we can stay as sheep, as long as we can stay as lambs, keep that attitude. You'll find the kingdom of heaven will continually minister to every single one of your needs in and through you. From the Bible dictionary, as we come to a close, blessed, the word blessedness or blessed is an inner satisfaction and sufficiency that does not depend on outward circumstances for happiness. Now, that is true blessedness. That's where really I want to be inside of my life. Many times I pray like that. You listen to the message, Perfect Faith. I want to be like Jesus. That's when there's a storm going on around me and the boat's about to sink. I am so much led by my sixth sense that I'm sleeping in the back of the boat. I'm not even worried. Oh. Hey, when everybody else, things are falling apart, the disciple, "Master, don't you care that we perish?" Yeah. That is a blessed condition to be in. That your sixth sense, we were saying it in Vilnius to the saints, that your sixth sense declares itself stronger than all your five senses. That's a blessed condition to be in. When your sixth sense has preeminence, your faith, that substance faith inside of you is stronger than everything these senses are declaring to you. Wow. Imagine Ron Spencer, when the Lord came to him, Brother Ron Spencer, and said, "Would you trust your life to me? Would you become so dependent upon me that you'll put your life in my hands?" And then he gets cancer in the brain, in the eyes, and all that. And now the Lord heals the man again, heals the brother again. But to get to that stage that you're so much dependent on him, yeah, that the kingdom of heaven is so real to you, that it like paralyzes in a sense those five senses. They declare themselves, but the sixth sense, the kingdom is so real to you. That inward kingdom, the kingdom of heaven, is more real than the natural kingdom that surrounds you and the circumstances that you're going through. I cannot think of anything I want more in life than that. That's the greatest thing that I would desire. I don't want things to come and worry me. I don't want things to come and scare me. I don't want that. That's not how Adam was in the beginning. No, when the kingdom had come and was ruling on earth in those days, there was no fear. You know, there was no. And the second Adam came and showed us that once again. And when the prophets on the mountain in Colorado, and there's the huge storm, and the voices turn and go back. He says to go back was to go back to certain death. Yeah. But to be so dependent on the kingdom, he says, but I knew to obey. And he walks back into the storm, and then the blessing now comes. That's the kind of life that a person wants. Now, that kind of life, I believe the Lord can trust you with great riches. He can trust you with great things because they're not important to you in life. They're not a measure stick of anything to you. You know, whether you have money or not, who cares? You know, because the most important thing to you is not those things. The most important thing to you is the king and the kingdom. Is you want the kingdom to be real to you, and you want the kingdom to manifest in and through your life. You want to receive the blessing so you can be a blessing. So you want to stay in that condition. And that is the secret of the prophet's success. He was a man that was so yielded to the Spirit, so dependent upon the kingdom. He knew I could do nothing without the Lord. And that's how the Lord could just manifest through him, sitting in a restaurant, manifest through him, sitting in a car. Imagine the kind of life that would be. What a blessing. Yeah. That when everything else is going wrong, wow. The kingdom is so real to and in you because you're poor in spirit. You've learned such a dependence on him, such a trust. You do not depend on outward circumstances for happiness. Like I say, John on Patmos, John the eagle, the type of the bride, the situation was hard. Daniel in the lion's den. Daniel has a peaceful night in the lion's den.
That's right.
Yeah, because the kingdom is manifesting on his behalf. The Hebrew children in the fiery furnace. That kind of a condition that, yay, the kingdom is so real to you, the fire doesn't burn you. Blessed is the man who looks beyond human lack and want to divine strength and sufficiency.
Hallelujah.
So being poor in spirit doesn't mean you're just looking at yourself and saying, ah, me, I have nothing, I can do nothing. That's the first stage. That's not blessed, because that can be unbelief. It's realizing, I can't do it, but he can. So you're looking beyond your lack. You're looking beyond your want. You're looking to his sufficiency. You're saying, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. My God will supply all of your needs according to his riches in glory. That's what a blessed life really, really is. When you look at it and say, look, I don't know what to do here. We'll see an example here now to get it. Blessed is the one who realizes the source and nature of true blessings. So you are really blessed when you realize where true blessing comes from.
That's right.
You know, I know where blessing comes from. Blessing comes from his presence. Blessing comes from his favor. Blessing comes from his word. Blessing comes from fellowshipping with his people. Blessing comes in the line of duty, in the post of duty, in serving the Lord, in doing his will. You learn where blessing truly is. That's where this inner satisfaction. Doesn't mean outwardly things are going to be easy. Because when you do the will of God, you're going to have a lot of enemies against you. You're going to have a lot of spiritual warfare against you. But there's an inner satisfaction inside of your soul. That's why Jesus says, I have meat to eat, food to eat that you know not of. My food and my drink is to do the will of my Father. Yeah? And to finish the work that he sent me. When they said, Master, here's food. Come and eat. He says, I don't need that food. Thanks. I've got another kind of food. It's the food that comes, the satisfaction, the inward satisfaction that comes from doing the will of my Father. So what the Lord does, he creates the condition, first of all. He said it to Israel. He humbled thee. and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which you knew not, neither did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word. So in the wilderness now, when they come out of Egypt, not everybody was blessed, but Joshua and Caleb were. When the need came and there's no food, they're trusting in the Lord. They're knowing, Lord, you've allowed this lack so that you can supply our need. And they're satisfied. They're not murmuring and complaining like the rest of the people. The rest of the people in the midst of the situation, when the outward circumstances were contrary, they start to moan and to grieve and to disbelieve. That's not a blessed condition to be in. But Joshua and Caleb, the prophet actually says, Joshua and Caleb stuck with Moses even when he was wrong. And then this is God's blessing is upon this man, even when they went through those kind of things. Okay, the final one. Blessed are they which are seeking kingdom answers. Like Jehoshaphat. Here's Jehoshaphat, 2 Chronicles 20. Oh, our God, wilt thou not judge them? The enemy is coming against them. For we have no might against this great company that comes against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon you. That's a blessed man. That was a blessed king. He knows he's got needs. Lord, we don't have any strength against this enemy. We don't even know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. That's blessed. That's a man. Blessed are the poor in spirit. This man's poor in spirit. This man's depending on God. This man says, I need the kingdom to manifest on my behalf. And because of his attitude, because of the condition of his heart, the kingdom of heaven came and made, and the Holy Ghost came down upon the prophet and said, thus saith the Lord, Jehoshaphat, you shall not fight in this battle. The battle is the Lord. You go down by the way, the cliff of Ziz. Go down in the morning and you'll see. You don't have to fight. And they go down, then the enemies have fought against each other. And all Joshua did with his men was went and got the spoil of battle.
Amen.
Because the enemies had killed each other. What about King Hezekiah when he spread the letter before the Lord? When the enemy came making a boast against him. And he took that letter and he went and he spread it before the Lord. And he says, Lord, look at what they're saying against you. Yeah? Lord, we don't have any might. We don't have any power. There's nothing we can do against this. But he was a blessed man because he knew where to take the problem to. He was God dependent. He wasn't independent. The prophet says, can anything happen to a Christian without it being for the best? No. So what did God get him, John, out there on the island for? To give us this book of Revelation. You see, God can just pull the wool over the devil's eyes anytime he wants to, can't he? He just simply can. I just love him because I don't have to be smart.
Yes,
Lord. See what the prophet, I don't need to be smart. He says, I just need to be depending upon him. He says, he knows how to pull the wool over the devil's eyes. No matter what the devil does, no matter what happens inside of your life as a believer, it's going to end up as a blessing. All things work together for good to them that love the Lord. If we can just depend on him and trust in him, every situation becomes a blessing. Every trial becomes a blessing. It comes down to that one, Lord, what are you trying to teach me here? Because you're realizing that if you are blessed, if the favor of God is upon you, if you are spiritually prosperous, everything that you go through, if you trace it back beyond the circumstances, what you're going through, you can trace it right back to the Lord. Remember, he's the sheep. He's the door to the sheepfold. He comes and he sits in the door. Nothing gets to the sheep except for it comes through the shepherd. And you start realizing, okay, Lord, so this is happening inside of my life. For this to happen, as with Job, it's come through the shepherd. Yeah, it had to come through him. It's come with divine permission. So if it's come with divine permission, it's come with a divine purpose. And when you start looking at life, like they say in the dictionary, blessed is the man who looks beyond the secondary circumstances to the great first cause. Who's the real, real one behind what you're going through? It's the Lord. Everything comes from his hand. And when you start looking at life like that, life is not frustrating. Life is not circumstances. I don't know why this is happening. No. All things work together for the good. And that's how the prophet says, I don't need to be smart. because he knows how to pull the wool over the devil's eye. No matter what happens, if he puts me on Patmos, it's going to be a blessing. Like Brother Babes there in South Africa, you get arrested wrongfully, you get sentenced to, what, 7 years in prison, and they put you in prison, and you come out of prison, and you make your testimony called serving a purpose, not serving a sentence. And you find out that there's people in the prison praying, believers, children in the prison praying because they need the grace of God to visit them. And you, God trusts you to put you in prison. And you find yourself in prison. You did not a high security prison. And you become the one who brings the light to the prison. And then you start seeing, but wow, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that are God dependent, because all the resources of heaven are going to manifest on your behalf. Blessed are they that are God dependent, not those that are independent. Blessed are you when you are sheep, because you're a lamb, because you can be led and guided of the dove. So may the Lord help us to do that, saints, as we stand and we bow our heads. Let's just bow our heads, saints. We do thank the Lord for grace in this age that we're living in. Where would we be without the right measure stick to really understand what blessedness is? Maybe inside of your life, you're like me, you're saying, Lord, I just want that life that is so dependent upon you. Lord, I just want a life that the outward circumstances become so, so dim, like the song says, that your kingdom is so real that it declares itself no matter the circumstances that I'm in. Whatever else you would desire, why not just raise your hand to the Lord and say, Lord, you see the desire of my heart. Lord, I want to be poor in spirit. Lord, I can see the mistake that I've made. I've been too independent. Lord, I can see I've been doing things my own way. Lord, I thought I could run my own life. I thought I could make my own decisions and choose my own friends and choose my own path. And I just see where it's led me to. I'm like the prophet. I've been on the death walk. I'm getting nowhere and it's becoming perilous inside of my life. But today, Lord, I come back to the shepherd. I come back. I just want to humble myself. I just want to be a sheep. Lord, I just want to be poor in spirit today. I realize my need. I realize my lack. Lord, I realize my dependence upon you to help me in the situation that I'm in. And you'll find the laws of the kingdom will start to operate inside of your life. Father, as we need you upon this evening, we bring ourselves before you, Lord. We just humble ourselves before thee at this time, Lord. We just want to be dependent upon you. Father, we just want your kingdom to be so real in and through us, Lord. We just want you to, Father, quicken your word to us, Lord, and persuade our souls to believe that, Father, you may declare yourself in the midst of every situation, Lord, that, Father, we'll just be depending upon you. May you bless your people. May you bless the needs of your people. Father, you know every circumstance, every situation, even them that are at work tonight, and you pray for them. Pray that you'll watch over them, Lord, them that are sick, Lord. Pray that you'll minister grace, Lord. Father, them that have questions and needs, them that are junctions and need direction. May you just open the way, we pray. Father, we thank you for the message of the hour. Father, we thank you for counsel to this age that comes to counsel us, Lord, according to your word. We thank you, Lord, for showing us what true riches are. Father, for your counsel for us to buy of thee the eye salve that you might truly see, Lord. And Father, to the raiment to cover our nakedness in this age, Lord. And Father, we just want to submit ourselves to your counsel and just say, be it unto us according to your word this evening. Yes. May you bless your people. Bless this place. Bless all that didn't manage to make it this night. Would you pray for them? Bless your people online as well, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. So let's ask Robert James to come and lead us in a song. That's perfect. That come back to you.
Amen. Sing 181. It's A flat. Go to any rivers you think uncrossable. Go to any mountains you can't tunnel through. God specializes in things thought impossible, and he will do what no other power can do. Be of good courage, God spake unto Joshua. When all the river God pointed the way, Jordan uncrossable, things seemed impossible. Orders divided, they marched and obeyed. Oh, go to any river you think are uncrossable. Go to any mountains you can't tunnel through. God specializes in things thought impossible. And he will do what no other power can do. Oh, battles to win, they put me through the obstacles. Jericho's walls too must fall to the ground. God never failed, he stood back on his promises. Walls to crumbles as they march. Hallelujah, go to any rivers you think are uncrossable. Oh yes, go to any mountains you can't tunnel through. Oh, God specializes in things thought impossible, and he will do what no other power can do. Oh, God is the same. His word is dependable. He'll make a way through the water for you. Life situation by him amendable. Mountains and hills he will part for you. Oh, go to any river you think uncrossable. Oh, yes, go to any mountains you can't tunnel through. Oh, God specializes in things thought impossible, and he will do what no other power. Oh, yes, go to any river you think uncrossable. Oh, yes, go to any mountains you can't tunnel through. My Lord, God specializes in things thought impossible, and he will do what no other power can do. Amen. Amen.
That was a very powerful man. Oh, bro. That's his Sunday service.